Hey kids, Rish Outfield here. I just got home from work. Listen to this. Yummy. I had been thinking at work that I wanted to do a blog post about, I would call it Dungeons and Dragons, Satan's Game. And I sat down to do it, and I typed a couple paragraphs, and I thought, oh, you know what? I want to do this in audio. I don't want to do this as a blog post. But I had already started the blog post. And I don't want to do it as a Rish Outcast because it's just not significant enough. It's just, I went to a comic convention and yesterday there was a panel called Dungeons and Dragons, Insanity and Satanism, or something like that. Satanism and Insanity. And it was about the anti-D&D scare or craze or hysteria. Oh, that's a good word. From the late 70s, early 80s. And my friend Jeff has been an ardent D&D player for that long, for 30-something years, and just loves it. And he gets together with his buddies, and they play D&D, and he's inspired his children to learn to play the game. And I know that he's protective of D&D because he was a boy around the time that all this anti-gaming hysteria hit, and he had a very reactionary mother, and she knew about her son's interest in this stuff and, you know, did all that she could to squash it, to squelch it, to squeeze it out of him. And he's one of those guys who the more you tell them they can't do something, the more he wants to do it. And you know what? Maybe everybody's like that. I don't know. Anyway, I was about to start to talk about his children, about how one is like he was, and one is the complete opposite of how he was, just as an FU from fate, I guess. You know, anyhow, he used to tell me these stories about, you know, oh, do you know what Dungeons and Dragons is, and all that stuff of his childhood and of, I guess he probably had an uncle, a cool uncle who played Dungeons and Dragons or encouraged him to play Dungeons and Dragons. And, you know, there was always opposition to that. And he would tell stories about the tug of war. So when I saw that there was a panel called that, more than all the other panels, oh my gosh, there were a lot of panels yesterday that I wanted to go see. And most of them were at the same time. They were all counter-programmed, whatever you call that, where you've got a bunch of things on at the same time, and you can't go to all. And in my case, you know, you could only go to one. But though I was really excited about the idea of going to this Satanism panel. I guess that sounds weird. But I had thought of Jeff's stories, and I thought we are going to get some really funny stories of, you know, well-meaning parents. And you know what? Maybe not so well-meaning parents. I don't know. I'm not going to say that parents are all doing the best that they can and that, you know, if you teach your child to hate something, you know, that's your job, is to teach a kid what's right and what's wrong. And, oh gosh, I am going off on a f***ing tangent. Now I have to edit this. Dang it. Anyhow, I thought that it would be an amusing panel. And so I went to it and I told my niece, I really want to go to this. You don't have to come. And she's like, oh, of course I'll come. And it wasn't entertaining at all. It was sad, and it was not unlike hearing about the Red Scare or the anti-comic book hysteria of the 1950s. It was not unlike hearing about racism or homophobia or injustices that people you hear about that come to light. They had on the panel a man who was the head of the gaming coalition, or a coalition by the game created by the gaming industry. And he was, Michael Stackpole is his name, he's a writer. He was their representative, he was gaming's representative, and it was his job, and amazingly, still is, his job to field any questions, to come to the defense of anybody who was finding themselves in the middle of this hysteria. Mostly, you know, he was the on the game's side, trying to help TSR or help people who had video game stores, role-playing game stores, or sold them out of their comic book shops or bookstores or whatever, that were getting pressure or getting whatever two steps above pressure is. And he talked more than all the other people on the panel. The other people, there's somebody who was a big gamer and there's somebody that worked for the designing games and, it was a bunch of fans, really. And then him, and he talked most of the time. But the things that he had to say bummed me out. They didn't make me laugh. I thought that I would. I thought that I would laugh at the misunderstanding, I guess I thought that there would be people that are just like, they hear about a dungeon master and they're like, oh my gosh, the S&M and the sexual perversion and stuff that's all associated with that, and then they find out that it's just somebody who sort of makes up the game and decides where it goes, and they're just like, oh, is my face red? And I'm a middle-aged guy, and I should have known by now that no extremist, no religious nut, no political crazy will ever say, oh, is my face red? I was wrong. It's not in their character. But he sort of talked about the history of Gary Gygax, I think is his name, and his development of D&D, and then advanced D&D coming out, and then all of this media fervor. And, hearing about people who, had sunk their life savings into opening a game store, and then a televangelist tells people that, he's corrupting their youth, or that, he's trying to molest or corrupt or warp or drive insane or bring into the warm claw of Satan, and he loses his business. Hearing about that was not funny. And hearing about church members holding public burnings in the churchyard of D&D manuals and such, that was just chilling. It wasn't quaint. It felt like when you hear the really, really bad racists, those things that went on in the Old South, or sadly still go on in some places, there's no humor to that. It's not even sad. It's below that. It's offensive. It's heartbreaking. And so I had gone to this panel thinking that it would be a laugh riot, thinking that it would be a lot of fun, because I was just a little boy. And there was this whole anti-Satanism craze that washed through my community. And first it was rock and roll music, Kiss, Knights in Satan's Service, AC/DC, Antichrist Devil Child. And I always have to mention the third one, Wasp, We Are Satan's People, because that was pounded into my head as though that were a real band. And so it's all part of my mindset. But according to this panel, the rock and roll industry was just too powerful. It's like, what are you going to do? There are millions and millions of rock and roll fans and teenagers and promoters and all that stuff. You're not going to squash them. There's nothing you can do. But role-playing is small, and role-playing is vulnerable. And the people that like role-playing are fringe people, and they're loners and they're nerds. You can squash them if you want to. And so that's what happened. People that couldn't defend themselves. So that wasn't any fun to listen to. The book burning thing. Holy cow. I remember rock and roll records being burned. And I want to say religious fundamentalists. I want to say religious nuts. But I think it was just normal people dancing around the fire and throwing stuff in and singing hymns. And maybe it wasn't. Maybe no normal person would do that. Although they did mention Harry Potter during the panel, and they, that there was a little bit of related hysteria there, and there was a little bit of related hysteria with video games post-Columbine, and none of that stuff is funny. I've never laughed at a Columbine joke. And really, the only reason that I thought that you guys would laugh with me was if I told you this part. So I had sat down, I was with my cousin, I was with my niece, and the panel was going, and this dude came in, and he was dressed as the Darkness from Legend, a terrible Ridley Scott movie. And you know what? It might not even be terrible, but 25 years ago when I saw it, I thought it sucked. But one thing that didn't suck was Tim Curry as this demon, the bad guy, the devil, called Darkness. And if you recall, he had red skin, and he had a gigantic head with these huge bull horns. The design was quite cool for this demon, and this guy had made one out of paper mache and the stomach lining of his many victims, and it looked like a pretty crappy costume, but he was obviously dressed as a devil or the devil going to this Satanism panel. And so when he sat down, there were snickers as people noticed that, but most people were listening to the sad, sad stories going on the panel. And not to beat that dead horse, but they brought up Mazes and Monsters, Roland Jaffe's movie, Mazes and Monsters. And if you've ever seen it, it's just ridiculous. It's so dumb in its, lambasting of Dungeons and Dragons, but it's called Mazes and Monsters there. And Tom Hanks, who everybody knows is a fantastic actor, delivers just this performance where he's lost his reality button and he, I don't know what's real anymore kind of thing. It's hysterical in both senses of the word. And so I wanted to laugh about that, but then the guy said, well, this was inspired by a true story, and he told us about the true story. And it made us a little bit angry because Dungeons and Dragons had nothing to do with this poor kid's disappearance, and Dungeons and Dragons had nothing to do with this poor kid's death. But it was an easy scapegoat. And you couldn't laugh even at the Tom Hanks thing once you realized there was a real person that this was based on. So they opened it up for questions and answers, and people were asking about, have you ever heard about this, or have you ever read this, or there were these tracts that so-and-so televangelist put out about how to identify someone who was a Dungeons and Dragons player. It's kind of like how to identify a communist, or how to identify a molester kind of thing, what do they call it? A sex offender. And I'll give you that. That's a little bit funny, the stuff that they talked about in the pamphlets. There was a little bit of humor in that. Because, it's just like they are either underachievers or overachievers. It's like, they are either very intelligent or very curious. And it's just all this crap about, where it could be anybody, but it's just helping you look around and point fingers. And gosh, I'm just bummed out now. I am so unhappy telling you about this panel. Why did I go through all this? I apologize. Anybody that came here thinking, oh, he's going to amuse me. That was my intent. That's why I came out here, is I wanted to amuse you with this friggin' story. They opened up the Q&A, and people were asking legitimate questions, and then the Darkness comes up. And he comes before the microphone, and everybody laughed. And people applauded this guy. And suddenly it was okay. And you know what? Maybe you needed all the misery so that you could have this laugh of release. But no, it would have been fine with no misery at all to go there and just have a good time and talk about a less enlightened era. Anyway, he gets in front of the microphone and they're like, yes, Satan, what do you have to say? And he goes, I heard once that... And the audience exploded in laughter. Holy cow. I could not help myself. I laughed so hard at hearing this dorky little voice come out of this giant, because he was completely covered from head to toe in this papier-mâché rubber costume kind of thing.
And then he said, I heard this story.
Kind of thing. So we all laughed. And then the guy goes, okay.
I heard this story about a...
And the audience applauded and laughed even harder that this guy did a devil voice for us, for our benefit. And I loved that. I thought that was so neat. The whole panel should have been that. We should have been laughing and talking about, you know, oh, how dumb people used to be, and we're better than that now. And
anyhow,
at one point, the devil guy had been sitting there, and he picked up his soda, and he drank it through a straw, because of his makeup and his mask or whatever, he couldn't drink it in a regular way. And somebody pointed it out to me. Oh, my cousin pointed it out to me, or my niece did. And it was just so amusing to see the devil drinking through this straw that I took a picture, and it's there right there at the bottom of the blog page if you're interested. And that's what it should have been. That's what it should have been about. And I guess I've got to go in and write my blog post now. And you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus as much as I can on what's light about it and see if I can't have a better balance than what you've just listened to, which is, you know, 15 minutes of me talking about my expectations and having those expectations dashed. I wish I worked fewer hours. I wish I made more money so I could do more Rish Outcasts. I could do more blogging. I have like 3 or 4 blog posts that are just in partial form. And I never have the time or motivation to finish them. And it's not sad. I mean, who cares, right? You don't care about my blog. But a blog is one of those things that you're supposed to work on, you know, while you're at work or something like that, just during slow times at work. And I'm not able to do that. I don't have access to a computer at slow times at work. And so it's no fun. Just like the Satanism and Dungeons and Dragons panel was no fun. But I urge you to go out and do something fun. Don't be like me. Be better than me. Good night.